Amen. Let's go to John 3:16. I'm going to try very hard to stay, as Deacon Bill says, Elder Bill says, to stay on point here. But when I start thinking about some things, I just get emotional. I mean, I start thinking about what God has done and is doing, you know, on behalf of me and my family, and I see him moving within and around his ministry, and think about how he's kept and is keeping Pastor Sarah, and sometimes I just get whelmed. I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, so I don't apologize for that. But John 3, verses 16 and 17 out of the Message Bible, it says, "This is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. And that's why we are commissioned, folks. We're commissioned to help. We're commissioned to put the world right again." Now, moving up to this holiday, I was thinking about, you know, Independence Day and the Declaration of Independence, and, you know, think about why the forefathers felt the need to make that proclamation. I read the proclamation again, and I started thinking, okay, what does it really mean to be independent? You know, and what is it to operate in independence? And so, you know what I did? I went and looked it up. Okay. Independent, not influenced or controlled by others in matters of opinion, conduct, etc. Independent. Not subject to another's authority or jurisdiction. It means you're autonomous, you're free. You're not influenced by the thoughts or actions of others. Not influenced by them at all. Independence is the state of being independent. But it's also freedom from the control, influence, support, or aid of others. It's freedom from that. When I read that, and every time I've read it since, I have to laugh. Because I start thinking about the young people that are getting ready to go away to college, and they just can't wait to get out of the house and be away from mommy and daddy's rules so that they can be independent. Then after a little while, a letter starts coming. And they start singing that song for my youth. Money, 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 money. Parents need to send back, "You're independent." But there's some other words. Merriam-Webster Thesaurus lists some words that are related to being independent or having independence. And some of those words are autonomous or free, which I mentioned, self-determining. Well, listen to this. Potent. Powerful. Resilient. Strong, free. All of those words are related to being independent. You can draw from that and say, well, if I'm independent, I'm resilient. I'm strong, I'm powerful. Because in order to be independent, you have to be all of those things. Or you will be dependent on something or someone. And when I thought about it, I said, it makes sense. Because if I'm weak, I can't be independent. If anything that hits me, I just fall to pieces, I can't be independent. But because we are an independent nation, what I found out is that our founding fathers' intention was for us to be independent from the rule of Great Britain. They never, ever, ever intended that we would be independent from God. Amen. Never. When they wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, it says, one nation. So it's when you are under God that you are one nation. It's under God that you are, that we are indivisible. It's when we are under God that we can experience liberty and justice for all. If we are not under God, that means if we are not in subjection to God, if we are not covered by God, we won't have those things. In the Declaration of Independence, says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator. You think about that. Who's the creator? So it's only when we're empowered by God are we equal. If we're not empowered by God, guess what? We're not equal. And we'll start having class systems and all of this other stuff. It's when we're endowed by God that we have these certain inalienable rights. Because we are endowed by God. Also, it says, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God. Who's nature's God? And they said, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. So they were counting on God's protection as they moved forward in this new freedom. They realized that in order to be successfully independent, one must be dependent on God. You cannot experience independence if you're not dependent on God. Psalm 33, verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose what? Whose God is the Lord. That's why Jesus told us to go into all the world and teach all nations. Baptizing them, that means immersing them in the Father, in the Son, in the Holy Ghost. Immersing them in the knowledge of God. Because that's what's going to make this nation successful. Say, well, how is that? Well, if the people are successful, then the nation is successful. See, there are a lot of folks that go around, you know, and they're complaining. Yeah, the church just wants your money, 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 money. No, folks, we want you to be prosperous. Because this ministry cannot be prosperous if you're not prosperous. How can you give if you don't have anything to give? See, God wants us to be independent from stuff and things. And he wants us to be totally independent on him. See, and when you think about it, one of the relational words, as I shared earlier, is free. Well, in John 8, Jesus said, if the Son liberates you, this is the Amplified Bible, says, so if the Son liberates you, makes you free men, then you are really and unquestionably free. How many of you have been liberated by the Son? Well, not everybody in here. Do I need to have an altar call? How many of you have been liberated by the Son? Amen. That means you are unquestionably free. Unquestionably, Eric, you're free. You know what that means? You're free from sickness. Because sickness questions your freedom. Sickness questions your independence. So does poverty. So does lack. So does racism. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'm going to make a statement. Some of you may get your nose out of joint. I'll lay hands on you and it'll go back in joint. Okay. But they're just some things, folks, we just need to know. Galatians 5, verse 1, still in the Amplified Bible. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast, then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared, and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you have once put off. I thought it was interesting. It said, do not submit, which means you have a choice. You've been made unquestionably free, and the enemy is going to present you with a position, with the proposition to put on a yoke of bondage again, and you determine whether or not you're going to do it. Because he says, do not submit. And John 8, verses 31 and 32, is in the Message Bible. It says, then Jesus turned. It's amazing the way the Message Bible puts this. Then Jesus turned to the Jews who had claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. Think about what he said. He said, if you stick with this, if you stick with this gospel, if you're living it out, that's what he's saying. Then you are my disciples for sure. And you will experience for yourself the truth. And that truth will free you. See, we're living in a time when we're not experiencing the truth that Jesus was talking about. We're experiencing what society is mashing in our face. And too many of us are believing that as being the truth, when it's not. We've forgotten that we've been made free, we've been made independent. We've forgotten, and we've given in to the attitudes of this age in too many circumstances. Folks, we have to remember that we made a declaration of independence. You said, when did I do that? I wasn't born in 1776. No, the day you received Jesus Christ as Savior, that was your day of independence. And we start acting like we are independent of being ensnared by the yoke of the devil. And we have to admit to ourselves that we are dependent on God. See, when we confess Jesus as Savior, we allowed him to be Lord of our lives. We became new creatures, did we not? And since we became new creatures, we became independent of this world's system. That's a spiritual truth. So you know what that means? You're independent from race.
That's right.
You're independent of being a person of color or not a person of color. You're independent. That's the world system. Yeah, the Bible doesn't say that. Yes, it does. In Christ Jesus, there's no Jew, no Greek, no bond, no free. You can say no black, no white, no Indian, no Hispanic, no Asian.
That's right.
We're one people under God. Indivisible. Why? because we've had our Independence Day. So why are we getting caught up in the social issues of this time, of this era, that only want to divide? We have to realize we've been independent, that we have been made independent. So we have independence from that. Oh, so you're saying that those things don't exist. I'm saying you're independent of them because you've received Christ. And he has made you free. And if you don't believe you're independent of them, or you don't feel that you have that independence, then that means that you haven't been following out the doctrines of this new life in Christ. Because Jesus said, if you stick to it, you'll experience the truth. So if you're not experiencing the truth, you're not sticking with the gospel. And we have to understand that. We have to stick with the gospel no matter what. Racism should not have a negative effect on you in any shape, form, or fashion. Just like your time on the job doesn't depend on whether or not you get increases or not. When you live and do and work according to what God tells you, he promotes you. He promotes you. I mean, if racism was that powerful, I would have had to pay for all the work Ford Motor Company did on my car for free. Because they know that, you know, according to this world standards, I'm a black person. No, but they don't see me as a black person. As far as they're concerned, I'm Pastor Greg. I serve God. Jesus is my Lord. And whether they liked it or not, they had to take care of the servant of the Lord. But I conducted myself as a servant of the Lord. And that made them want to help me because they saw something that got them talking about me. There's something that the people need to see that'll get them talking about you. Because see, it's what they see in you that will cause them to listen to you.
That's right.
And we have to understand that. When God was talking to me about today, and he said to me, okay, what's the big deal about the 4th of July? Yeah, we're just having a little father-son conversation. And I'm like, what do you mean, what's the big deal? He said, what do? I said, well, folks picnic. They go to pools. They go to the beach. You know, they hang out. He said, well, yeah, really? How's the day culminated? I said, usually fireworks. And... See, people cheer, they get excited. They don't get excited about the food. They're not really excited about the fellowship. They're excited about the fireworks. And when you talk to them, well, what did you do? How was your day? They don't say, oh man, I had some smoking hamburgers. If somebody came and they made this potato salad that was killing. No. They said, man, you should have seen those fireworks. They were spectacular. They were absolutely gorgeous. And folks that were not even there will stand mesmerized listening to you talk about the fireworks because they know you experienced it. You saw it with your own eyes, and because of what you had to say about it, they'll actually make plans. I'm not going to miss this next year. I have to see this. I have to be a part of this. I mean, this is spectacular. You don't have to do it again. Thanks, guys. No, they're following their instructions. So when I say fireworks, fireworks come up. Okay? But it did that because it just wants you to see that's what the folks remembered. They remembered the fireworks. And we have to understand, because God said to me, he said, well, since your Independence Day, what are you doing? What have you done? And he said, and are people seeing fireworks? I'm like, fireworks for me? He said, yes, the works of the Holy Ghost. He said, those are Christian fireworks. That's why, he told me, he said, that's why I said to you, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs will follow. Let me read this to you in the children's, the International Children's Bible. Let me find it. In Mark 16, in verse 15, Jesus said to the followers, go everywhere in the world. Tell the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be judged guilty. And those who believe will be able to do these things as proof. They will use my name to force demons out of people. They will speak in languages they never learned. They will pick up snakes without being hurt. They will drink poison without being hurt. They will touch the sick, and the sick will be healed. After the Lord Jesus said these things to the followers, he was carried up into heaven. There Jesus sat at the right side of God. The followers went everywhere in the world and told the good news to the people. Now you think about that. If just telling was enough, why would there have to be signs? Because up to this point in the scripture, they were obedient. Jesus said, go and tell. They went and told, but that was not enough. It says, the Lord helped them. The Lord proved that the good news they told was true by giving them power to work miracles. God used fireworks, the work of the Holy Ghost, to prove that these people he sent out were the real deal. And that this Jesus that they were talking about is also the real deal. Without the fireworks, the people won't go back talking about, well, we met these folks and they had this stuff to say. No. They went back talking. They said, I was going down the street and this person showed up and we were talking. And there's a person there that was blind. He said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. This person just walked up to him and said, in the name of Jesus, and touched the man, and all of a sudden he could see again. He said, and you should have heard the things that he was saying about this Jesus. I had to receive him as my Savior because what he does is true. They couldn't stop talking about it because they saw the works. They didn't see the people in the protest march. They didn't see him picketing. They saw them talking to them about the gospel, and they experienced the work of the Holy Ghost, and they remembered. The Bible tells us in Acts that Peter, being filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke. Same Peter who was quick to deny and afraid of his shadow spoke. 3,000 people got saved. And the Bible made it a point to say, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. They couldn't stop talking about healing the blind man at the Gate Beautiful. They couldn't stop talking about it. And the religious leaders were concerned because of what they did. See, if they were just talking and there was no work, they wouldn't have been had a problem with that. But they said, this proof, it's undeniable. They saw the works. Now they realize these folks are a threat. Because what they're saying is being backed up by miraculous works. But those miraculous works only come from those who really believe. Not who say they believe, but who act like they believe. And if we are truly independent, then why are we not moving according to the promptings of the Holy Ghost, endued by the power of the Holy Ghost? Because we're concerned about someone in this world, we're concerned about what they may say or think. We should be concerned about what they say or what they think. We should be concerned that they say these folks are with Jesus. We should be concerned about what they do, because they say these folks lay hands on the sick and the sick people get well. These folks cast out evil spirits. Nothing seems to hurt these folks. I want to know what they have to say because of the fireworks. It proves that we are what the scripture says we are. And I believe we are. At least I believe I am. And I know Pastor Sarah is. I mean, you need to think about this. I don't know any other person that would have survived what Pastor Sarah went through, what Pastor Sarah had to endure. Folks would have thrown in woe is me, well, whatever that, what is it? Woe is me. Okay. It's good when you can't remember that. Okay. Not an indictment against those of you who did. But if you're independent, you don't say that because you're resilient. You're resilient because you are empowered by God. And it does not matter what anyone else thinks or anyone else has to say about it. All that matters is you believe it and you've chosen to live your life according to it. And God backs it up with the fireworks. And the people see, hear, and believe. Because you're the real deal. And you'll find yourself in positions where ways show up when it appears that there is no way. Where things will calm down when it seems like chaos is about to erupt. But because you show up and open your mouth using the keys of the kingdom to bind and to loose, it allows the Holy Ghost the freedom to produce the necessary fireworks that'll have the people talking. Not about you as an individual. You're walking around going like this, it's me. No. It's about what your God does through you on behalf of the other people. See, that's what they need to know. They need to know that we do what we do because we want them to live the same life that we do. Independent from everything that the devil has to offer. Independent. He said, well, if it's so good, how come everyone's not doing it? Because we've placed our mind, what's the scripture? Whose hearts and minds are in Christ. Ugh. It'll come back. Someone say it, just shout it out. Lord, you bring it back to me. But it's like whose mind is stayed on Christ. Yeah. Right. Thank you. We're kept in perfect peace because our minds, I can say our hearts and minds are stayed on God. That means we don't let anything cause them to move off. And when we do that, we get the fireworks. And the people start talking. And the people get excited. And the people start searching you out. I mean, we watch, I'm telling you, in our unit, we were able to just look out the window and see the fireworks. We didn't have to get in the part of the crowd and that was down here at Nanuet High School. But people came out all along Highview. It seemed like the entire neighborhood came. They set chairs out because there's a section between houses where you get this perfect view. And it was like they were sitting right there on the field at Nanuet High School. That's how clear it was. Both sides of the street filled with people. Why? They want to see the fireworks. They want to see them. They planned it. Set their chairs out. Got company. Now you're living in your own neighborhood and you leave early to get a good seat on the curb in front of your house. Okay. Because so many people are coming. So many people, because they heard about the fireworks. I got 2 emails from the town of Clarkstown. I got 3 telephone calls. Fireworks, fireworks, fireworks. Come early. We're going to have to close down some streets. We want the people to come. We keep saying, well, you know, yeah, I see lines of people trying to come in. What are we doing to draw them? What is it that they know about you that they listen when you say, I go to this place called Redeeming Love Christian Center, and I'm taught the word of God. That's why I do the things that you see me do. They're like, oh, I have to come. I was in a store yesterday, and a young lady was there, and she said, you know, because everywhere I go, I introduce myself to them as Pastor Greg. Not that I have a pastor complex, but I think they need to know that I'm Pastor Greg, and that the church where I pastor is right down the street, because I want them to associate me with the church. And she said, so where are you pastoring? I said, right up the street, Redeeming Love Christian Center. They're like, really? I said, yeah. I said, you need to come. And immediately her countenance fell. She said, I got to work. They have me working here from 10 to 6 every day. I said, I can believe that you'd get some help. I said, in the meantime, though, you can go to our website and watch anything that's taught here, all of the teaching messages you can watch on our website at no charge. And her eyes said, really? I said, yeah, really. She said, I need the word. I need someone that really teaches the gospel. I said, well, I'll send someone next week that'll give you some material. And she was like, you would? I said, yep, I will. And so I called Minister Dolores. And she's going to go and give her the material. And let her get the smiles and all of that. Doesn't need to be me. You hear what I'm saying, guys? Okay. There are other folks that can do it. Minister Dolores can do just that, minister to her. See, in Acts 10:38, it says, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and what? What? Now, this is Jesus. He had to go about doing good. He had to go about healing all that were oppressed. He had to have the Holy Ghost. He had to have the power. He had to have the fire. Had to have it. So, folks, that's one of the reasons, and I'm going to unhook in a short while, very short while, but that's one of the reasons John 13:34 is so important to our quote-unquote cause. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, love one another. And then because he knows everybody has their own interpretation of what that means, he said, the same way that I love you, you love one another, Juan. Why? By this. Everybody will know you're my disciples. Not when you tell them that you love everybody, but when they see the love that you have. Love is a firework. Because the Bible tells us the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. All we have to do is let it come out. How? By the same Holy Ghost. And the people will see that love and they won't be able to stop talking about it. I've never seen a group of people that love each other like that. You realize, I heard that they had a member that couldn't get the service and all the people got together and they brought the person a car. I mean, who does that? Really? Maybe we need to go by that church. I don't think maybe. I'm going. Yeah, but we usually play softball on Sunday. I don't care. If people can love like that, I want to go and see what they're and hear what they're hearing. Folks, that's why it's so important for us to do the things that God has called us to do. If producers, you can give me another round of fireworks, please. I mean, people are going to go, ooh, ah. Look at that one, look at that one. I mean, that's what happens when you go to a firework display and you start cheering. The noise doesn't bother you. The length of the presentation doesn't bother you. Most of the times you're upset, you say, end it too quickly. It ends and you go, everybody, because you want to see more. That's the attitude we need to have about spiritual things. We have to be willing to just keep giving and giving and giving and giving and not thinking, well, I'm tired or they're tired. You do what God tells you to do. You stop when he tells you to stop. We have the easy part. He has to work out what everybody's schedule and stuff. I don't. See, Mike, if you finish before I do, you can leave. I got to stay and say everything he tells me. See, to me, I don't have a choice. I'd like for you to feel the same way. Because my attitude has always been, I don't know when the word that's going to revolutionize my life is going to come through the lips of the speaker. It might be 30 seconds before they dismiss. I'm staying and getting it all because I don't know which part I need or when I'll need it. But if it's not in me, when I need it, it can't come out. It can't come out. So folks, let the fireworks begin. You don't need a special permit. You don't need to carry around a fire extinguisher. You just let the Holy Ghost. He knows what display the people will respond to. Just be a willing vessel. That's all. Just being a willing vessel. He's already prepared you. You're independent. You're not dependent on this world or this world's resources. Your dependency is on God. Amen? And God gave us, just like God inspired the founding fathers to write their Declaration of Independence, he inspired me a couple of years ago to write our Declaration of Dependence. And so I'm going to share that with you. And then we are going to pledge our allegiance to the Christian flag. And we're going to pledge our allegiance to God's holy word. Amen? This is our declaration of dependence on God. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for the children of God to understand that they are to have no connection to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, and to walk with delegated authority as a power, as the power of God on the earth, because of the equal position they have with God to which the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus affords them. In spite of worldly opinions, being a new creature in Christ requires God's children to declare the truth which freed them from the powers of darkness and brought them to the liberty they now have as a child of the Most High God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created in God's image and after his likeness and are blessed by God to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. All men who seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness are thereby endowed with specific unalienable rights, that among these are salvation, freedom from the curse of the law, and the pursuit of God's perfect will for their lives. To secure these rights, one must confess and believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born of a virgin, crucified on the cross, buried, went to hell, on the third day rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of God. That selfless act of love made available a better covenant with God, established on better promises. As God's children, we understand that we walk by faith and not by sight, giving thanks to God who always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. So whenever any form of government stands in opposition to God and his mandate to his children, it is the right of the children of God to alter or to abolish it through individual and corporate prayer for all in authority, so that we may live honestly and peaceably before God, because they know the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Such prayer will break the stronghold of powers of darkness, bringing about a new government based on a new commandment to love. Loving others the same way Christ loves us creates us a new foundation on the principles of love and forgiveness. But when sin abounds and the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, we will rest in knowing that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and because Jesus came to destroy the works of the adversary, we have life more abundantly. It is our right and our duty to remain steadfast and immovable, casting all our care on the Lord. I like this part. The history of the prince of this world is irrelevant. It does not matter how long he has kept this world in bondage. The very simple truth is this: Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. To prove this, let these biblical truths be submitted to a candid world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. For with God, nothing is ever impossible. And no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. When the 70 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven as a flash of lightning, and I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy and to walk among serpents and scorpions and to crush them. Nothing shall injure you. However, the important thing is not that demons obey you, but that your names are registered as citizens of heaven. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law's condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us when he was crucified. The scripture is plain. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. God's purpose is therefore plain, that being blessed, promised that the blessings promised to Abraham might reach the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, and the Spirit might become available to all of us by faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that are within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. These are all things that prove our position. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. Therefore, we the children of God, also known as the church, founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, declare that we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and we lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways we acknowledge him, and we allow him to direct our path. We're not wise in our own eyes. We reverence the Lord and depart from evil, and it produces health to our navel and marrow to our bones. We will honor the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all our increase. Our barns will be filled with plenty, and our purses will burst out with new wine. In him we live and move and have our being, and nothing can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. God will supply, God will deliver, God will protect. We further declare this day that without God we can do nothing, but with God all things are possible. We will continually offer our prayers, praise, and worship to God individually and corporately, giving honor to God, who is the supreme judge of the world, for giving us the great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it is our intent, by the grace of God, to do so in the name of Jesus and by the authority he gave us. Being born again and in a state of total dependence on God has absolved us from all allegiance to the devil and has caused our lives to be hid in Christ in God. We will wholeheartedly publish and declare that God's grace is sufficient for us, and that we are and ought to always be in a state of total dependence on God and God alone. In that dependent state, we have full power to preach the word in season and out of season, heal the sick, raise the dead, blessing those that curse us, and praying for those who despitefully use us. We conclude that being totally dependent on God gives us the peace that passes all understanding, a love that will promote unity of the body of Christ at large, and the wisdom to establish commerce and do all other acts and things which those totally dependent on God have a right to do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of God, we mutually pledge to have the same care one for another as the Bible instructs us. We firmly believe that it is our sacred honor to live our lives in total dependence on God. God said it, that settles it, we believe it. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. And to that we say, amen. Deacon Tony, would you bring our Christian flag, please? Let's hold it up here in front, and let's do it in front. And let's stand and give it the same reverence that we gave the American flag. Because while that, the red, white, and blue, and the stars and stripes has been a great blessing to this nation, but we wouldn't have that if we didn't have this. Amen. Would you hold it up, please? They can tell me. Same thing. Put your hand over your heart. Let's play. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. You ought to give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Folks, I have spoken, you have heard, you have confessed, you have declared. You may be seated. The only thing left to do is just is a check to make sure that we've taken the first step, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. That is having your own personal Independence Day. This day, you have the opportunity to become independent of the prince of this world. So if you have never confessed, you have never made a proclamation. See, the founding fathers of this country developed this proclamation. They made a public proclamation that they called the Declaration of Independence. God gave us Romans 10. Said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So I'm offering you the opportunity to make that public proclamation today, which declares your independence from the devil and all the plans he had for you. Is there anyone here that needs to do that? Well, we're all going to do it anyway. This is a day of proclamations. We're going to make one more. Father God, I believe that you are God, creator of the heavens and the earth. And I also believe by choice that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is your son. I believe he went to the cross and died for the sins of mankind. I believe he was buried and went to hell in my place. And I also believe that on the third day, he rose from the dead, and he's now seated at your right hand. Jesus, I turn towards you, and I ask you, come into my heart, come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you. And I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Now, is there anyone here, and this is the first time you can recall making that type of proclamation? Because you did, I need you to just stand where you are because you just got born again. You just became independent. And now we can let the fireworks begin. Is there anyone here?